Hello friends, this session we are going to deal with chapter 7, that's the geography of India. Let's see what are the key points that we are going to cover in it. The introduction, political features, physical features and climate of India. This will give us a geographical knowledge about India. Let's check it one by one. Now, India is the seventh largest country, accounting for 2.4% of the total world area. India is second in cultivable land to USA and second most populous country in the world. Now, lying entirely in the northern hemisphere, the mainland extends between latitudes 8 degree 4 minutes north and 37 degree 6 minutes north and 68 degree 7 east and 97 degree 25 east, and is a part of the Asian continent. We also know that we have Tropic of Cancer, which is passing across India. So India measures about 3,214 kilometers from north south and about 2,933 kilometers from east west. So that's from Kashmir to Kanyakumari and from Gujarat, Rajasthan to northeastern states. Towards the west, sorry, east. So that is the expand that India shows. Now, the bordering region is China, Bhutan, and Nepal, which border India. To the west, it is Pakistan and east Bangladesh, and the Himalayas and Nepal in the north, which separate India from Tibet. So the boundary line between India and China is called the McMahon line, which is named after the governor. So the British governor, wherein there was a treaty which was signed for Shimla Treaty. So that's the protected state of Bhutan, which lies in the northeast. India shares a boundary with Pakistan in northwest. India-Afghanistan border is shorter, which is only 80 kilometer long, as compared to Indo-Pak border, which is 3,310 kilometer long. India is divided into 28 states and 7 union territories. So this is the political border that India shows with its neighboring countries. This is what we see the map here. This is Nepal, China. We have the Tibet region over here near Nepal. We have Afghanistan clearly showing a small region of boundary sharing here. We have Pakistan, which is boundary sharing largest over here. Then we have Bhutan. And next is the Burma or Myanmar and the China. So those are the bordering nations. Here we have seen, we can see the states which are shown. Now the Indian political system, that is the political features that we have, dates from India's independence from British in the year 1947 and the proclamation of India's constitution in 1950. So the Lok Sabha is the lower house, whereas the Rajya Sabha or the Council of States is the upper house of the Indian Parliament. So we have two houses. The head of the state is the president. He has the exclusive right of declaring a state of emergency in a crisis condition. Now the head of the government is termed to be the Prime Minister or the PM, and is appointed by the president on nomination or election by the majority party in Lok Sabha. The Prime Minister has to be a member of either of the House or get elected within a span of 6 months, if not a member at the time of appointment. So that's how the Prime Minister of the country is elected. The ministers are then appointed by the President on recommendation of a Prime Minister. So that is the political scene that we have. Further ahead, let's concentrate on what Lok Sabha comprises of. We have Lok Sabha, which is composed of 552 members, which are directly elected by elections, through elections. This includes 530 members to represent the states and 20 members to represent the union territories, while 2 members are specifically representing the Anglo-Indian community. if at all the president feels that the community is not adequately represented. So this is how the members are divided along India. The ratio of the number of seats allotted to each state and the population of the state is kept for the same for all the states. So as we know that the states are divided as per the language, and there can happen that some of the states are more populous than compared to the others. So we make sure that the number of seats which are allotted to each state is in a ratio. Now, Rajya Sabha has 250 members, 12 of which are nominated by the president for their accomplishment in art, literature, science or other social services. So this 12 members are nominated by the president. So present day we have Sachin Tendulkar, we have Rekha the artist, we also have Javed Akhtar who are there, and such kinds of people are nominated which have done certain work in say sports or in artistic world or say social work. So they have accomplished in art, literature, science or others. Now the remainder of the house is elected indirectly by the state and the territorial legislatures in proportion to the unit's proportion, that is unit's population. So that is how the entire Rajya Sabha is composed of. The two houses share legislative powers except in the area of money bill, where Lok Sabha has overriding powers. So with regards to this particular bills, it is Lok Sabha whose voting will be counted more with respect to matters here. Now here again we see the latitude and longitudes of India. The country has total area again measuring 3214 kilometers north south and 2933 kilometers east west. Now the on south we have bordering by Indian Ocean, Arabian Sea on the southwest and the Bay of Bengal to the southeast. So we are surrounded by literally three areas surrounded by the water body. Now this is the Palk Strait and the Gulf of Mannar which separates India with Sri Lanka to its immediate southeast. The Maldives are away around 400 kilometers to the southwest. Andaman and Nicobar Islands are some 1200 kilometers southeast of the mainland. So we have our islands at Andaman and Nicobar, and the southernmost point in India is known as the Indira Point, which is on the Great Nicobar Island, a part of Andaman and Nicobar Islands. So although we have the mainland, which is the southern tip is considered to be Kanyakumari, however this is the point which is extending further ahead towards south. So that's how it is termed to be the southernmost point. India's territorial waters extend into the sea to a distance of 12 nautical miles from the coast baseline. So that is our sea boundary, if we can say that. The next is let's see that in the map. So here is the Palk Strait and the Gulf of Mannar. This is Indian coast and this is the Sri Lankan part that we can see. Next we have the Andaman Nicobar, that's the Indira Point that we were talking about, and on this side we have the Lakshadweep Islands, the group of islands. Now let's see the physical features. The mainland consists of four well defined regions. We have the Great Mountain Zone, we have the Indo-Gangetic Plain, the Desert Region and the Southern Peninsula. These are the major divisions of India with respect to the physical features. Now we have studied some of them here and we know some of them. Let's see them on the map. Now here we have the Great Mountain Ranges. Near the north, we have the plains, the Indo-Gangetic Plains. We have the Great Deserts, the desert region of India. And we have the Southern Peninsula, flanked with the western and the eastern Ghats. Let us see the mountains as the physical feature of India. Now, India is home to some of the tallest mountain ranges in the world. We have the Himalayas, we have the Western Ghats, which are seen towards the coast. We have Aravalli, Eastern Ghats, Nilgiri, Shivalik Range, Vindhya and Satpura mountain ranges. So, these are one of the notable mountain ranges that we have. India has seven major mountain ranges with peaks over 1000 meters, that's what we just said. These ranges come with some of the most attractive sceneries and ecosystem in the world. Now, most of these mountain ranges have typical ecosystems which are endemic to that region. So, the overall climate patterns and other environmental patterns that are seen in these mountain ranges have made sure that there are specific types of flora and fauna developed in these particular zones. It does not only have a typical ecosystem which is showing great biological diversity, but overall it gives it has a certain scenery to it. So it has scenic beauties to it. So that is what India shows, and that is how the mountains are forming a beautiful part of India. The mountains of India are prominent tourist attractions. Most of these mountains are the attraction to the tourists who are hailing from outside and as well as the domestic tourists in India. Now we have here the map of India wherein the main mountain ranges are shown. We have the Himalayan range towards north. We have Aravali range here nearer to Rajasthan. Vindhyas and Satpura going parallel. We have the Deccan Plateau, which is flanked by the Western Ghats and the Eastern Ghats, and this is the Himalayan range, which is further divided depending upon the altitude and the region where it is. Now, the Himalayas, let's concentrate on that, stretching for more than 2,500 kilometers from east to west, and 250 kilometers to 400 kilometers from south to north. The Great Himalayan Mountain Range are the highest mountains of India, without doubt, because it has comprises of the highest peak in India, that's Kanchenjunga, and it has the third highest, which is the third highest, and the Nanda Devi is the second highest mountain peak in India. So both of them are a part of Himalayan ranges of India. The Himalayas bisect India from the rest of Asia and is the primary source of rivers. So the rivers which are having its source in Himalayas, there are many, and most of them are major rivers for India. These the glaciers in the Himalayan range serve as a source for these rivers. So we have the peaks in India which are there, and we have the rivers which are there, which are fed by the Himalayan ranges. And furthermore, Himalayas also act as a barrier of the world, wherein it stops the wind from coming from across northern Asia. That is, the cold winds are stopped, and that is how they help in maintaining the warmer climate that India has. Now, India's rivers, the Ganga, Satluj, Yamuna, Chenab, Ravi and Brahmaputra are fed by the melting snows of Himalayan mountain range. So these are the main rivers which are very important for India, are having their source in Himalaya. The Himalayan mountain range is also famed for mountaineering expeditions. We have many mountaineering expeditions that go. There are people who are coming to India in order to scale this mountain peaks. The glaciers are one of the favorite attractions for the mountaineers. Now, there are many glaciers which are housed in Himalaya. The Sichuan Glacier is regarded as the biggest glacier away from Arctic zone. Now, the Sichuan Glacier is a glacier which is falling nearer to India and Pakistan border. It is also one of the reasons for conflicts which is taking place, because it is both the countries are trying for the rights of this glacier over here. It is regarded as the biggest one away from the Arctic region or the Arctic zone. Let us see map this particular regions on the map. Now what we can see is the Kanchenjunga peak, which is the highest, nearer to Sikkim. Then what we can see here is the Nanda Devi peak, so near the Himalayas, the main Himalayas here. That's the second highest one. Then we have the rivers which are there, the Ganga, Satluj, Yamuna, Chenab, Ravi and Brahmaputra near northeast. So most of these rivers are in this section. Then we have the Sichuan Glacier, the biggest glacier nearer to Pakistan, India. So this is supposed to be the biggest glacier after the Alaska. Let's see one of the major range, which is the Vindhya range, mountain range, which we have. This range is one of the seven holy mountain ranges in India, It separates northern India from southern India as it runs across central India. So if we see the position of Vindhya Range, it appears to separating or halving, that is separating the India in the mid. So in central India, it extends in an east-west direction from Varanasi through Madhya Pradesh to Gujarat, and it rides parallel to Satpura Range. So we have Vindhya and Satpura Range nearer, and they both are parallel to each other. The southern slope of the range is drained by the Holy Narmada River and is known as the Narmada Valley. Now, this region is also known for its biological diversity that is seen here. So, Vindhya Range is also having religious or mythical importance here, and the Holy Narmada River, which is considered, which also has certain pilgrim sites near it. So, let us see this in the map. We can see the Vindhya Range is here. And we can see the Narmada River forming the Narmada Valley. So Vindhya Ranges are seen to divide India into northern and southern. The direction is east to west of the Vindhya Ranges, and the Narmada Valley formed by the Narmada River. Now the mountain ranges that we have will be in Himachal Pradesh in Uttaranchal state, and in Sikkim and northeastern states. Now we have the mountain ranges which are in Himachal Pradesh. Some of the major places that are worthwhile to mention are Shimla and Dharamshala, which are the main tourist attractions. Now it is the presence of this mountain ranges in the states that makes and adds up to the touristic attractions which are there, the scenic beauty which we see in Shimla and Dharamshala. It is also this is also from where there are many pilgrim sites, because in India mountains are considered to be holy. Now in Uttarakhand or Uttaranchal is home to many sacred cities like Rishikesh and Haridwar. Now we have, these are the main cities when we talk about pilgrim cities in India, wherein Haridwar is considered to be the main city which can lead to the yatra, that is it is said to be the dwar, that is the door to God, that's Haridwar. And Rishikesh, which has the tourist attractions like the Lakshman Jhula, and then there are many many pilgrim sites. Haridwar is also Haridwar, Rishikesh are also considered to be the yoga centers. So these are not only the pilgrim cities but are also the tourist attractions which attract the tourist for their proximity to the mountains. Then we have in Sikkim, we have the Himalayas which are extending, Kanchenjunga Peak, which is towards the border of Nepal and Sikkim. So that is one. Further ahead in northeastern states, we have the seven sisters. So the Himalayan range, which is moving towards the northeastern part of India, we see Arunachal Pradesh, which shows maximum presence of the mountain range here. So those are the northeastern states. Let's see these mountain ranges in the map. Now we can see the Himachal Pradesh part over here, the cities of Shimla and Dharamshala, then the Uttaranchal, the famous cities of Rishikesh and Haridwar. Sikkim will be nearer to the Kanchenjunga Peak. Northeastern, the Seven Sisters. So these are forming the mountainous regions. Let's check the Satpura Range. Now, it stretches through the states in the central part of India. It extends across Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. So that is where the location of Satpura Range is. The Satpura Range is triangular in shape with its apex at Ratnapuri, with the two sites being parallel to the Tapi and Narmada river, Tapti and Narmada rivers. Now, we know that Vindhya and Satpura Range are running parallel. And this is the location wherein Satpura ranges. It is heavily forested and provide habitat for some of the India's remaining large mammals, including the Royal Bengal tiger, gaur bear and black buck. So this is a range which has a typical ecosystem with it. It is heavily forested and it houses many fauna, that is the animal life. It is rich in animal life. So that's Satpura Range. Let us see it on the map. Now we have the Satpura Ranges here. You can see they are nearer to Vindhya Ranges. spreading across the states of Maharashtra on one side through MP and Chhattisgarh. The Tapi and Narmada River have their valleys near here. So that's the Satpura Range. The next is the Aravalli Range. Now it stretches for approximately 300 miles over Rajasthan. These are one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world. Now it is said that they are formed many years ago, that is with respect to the geology that they are showing, the soil formations that they are showing, it is older, that is the date is older. This ranges protect the cities of Rajasthan from severe desert. Now, as per the location, it makes sure that Rajasthan has at least some rain because of the typical wind pattern that it shows. The range is famous for its mineral resources and it's surrounded by dense forests. So, the location is such that it gives certain kind of wind patterns over to that region, which helps in having deep forested zones. Again, since the date is older, there are many mineral reserves which are there in the region here. The highest peak of the ranges is Guru Shikhar at Mount Abu. Mount Abu is considered to be one of the travel attractions that we have. The peak here, Guru Shikhar, is famous for its temple of Dattatre. So it is also a pilgrim site which is there. So that's the highest peak of the range. Let us see this in the map. Now these are the Aravalli Range here nearer to Gujarat, Rajasthan. This is the Aravalli Range. Now here we have the oldest ones. These are known as the oldest one, and the famous peak of Guru Shikhar is forming a part at Aravalli Range. It is these ranges which are actually saving Rajasthan from severe drought conditions. Now next is the Western Ghats, or the Sahyadris as it is known. Western Ghats or the Sahyadris starts near the border of Gujarat and ends to Kanyakumari. So that's a very long stretch of land. It runs north-south along the western edge of the Deccan Plateau. So it is the one which is flanking the Deccan Plateau. About 60% of the Western Ghats are located in Karnataka. Now because of the typical location, proximity to the sea, Sahyadris have developed their own ecology and shows brilliant biological diversity. This has taken into accord by UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it is listed as one of the 8 hottest hotspots. So because of that biological diversity, which is typical to Western Ghats and Sahyadris, there are specific regions which are coming under this list. A total of 39 properties, 20 in Kerala, 10 in Karnataka, 5 in Tamil Nadu and 4 in Maharashtra form under this list. So we are talking about this beautiful scenic scenery which is shown by the Western Ghats. We are talking about the rich flora and fauna diversity that is shown. It no doubt is one of the treasures that India has. More importantly, the Western Ghats, the altitude of it makes sure that there are the typical climatic zones that are formed, because it acts as a barrier barrier from the winds that are coming from the ocean side. It is also one of the reason why the Konkan district, that is towards the coastal areas of India, is experiences heavy rains. Now we have the Eastern Ghats on the opposite side. So it is an irregular range of mountains which include 4 major rivers: the Godavari, Mahanadi, Krishna and Kaveri. Its range starts from West Bengal to Tamil Nadu. So it is again flanking on the opposite side and flanking the Deccan Plateau. Situated at the juncture of Western and Eastern Ghats are the Nilgiri Hills, which are known for its Nilgiri plantations, also known as the Blue Mountains, running in Tamil Nadu and Kerala. So if we see, it appears to be at the point where Western and the Eastern are meeting each other. The Shivaroy Hills is the highest peak in the Eastern Ghats. So we have the Shivaroy Hills, which are the highest peak of this range. It is also coming under the tourist attractions. There are places like Salem, which are attracting tourist here. So again, the Eastern Ghats show typical biological and scenic beauties which are seen. We also have the Cardamom Hills, which are considered to be a part of Western Ghats, nearer to the end, that is towards the southern India. Let us see this both ranges in the map. Now we can see here Western Ghats and the Eastern Ghats, and they are flanking the plateau, the Deccan Plateau, so Western and the Eastern Ghats, making the natural border. Now let's see the mountains of West Bengal. Now Darjeeling Himalayan Hill region is situated on the northwestern side of West Bengal. Now that is the Darjeeling Himalayan Hill region that we have. This region belongs to the Eastern Himalayan range. Alright, so when we are talking about the Himalayas, we have the higher Himalayas, lower Himalayas, we have the Eastern Himalayas, which form nearer to northeast of India. So this region belongs to the Eastern Himalayan range. Sandakfu and Falut are the only places in West Bengal from where Mount Everest is seen. So Mount Everest, which is located towards Nepal, the peak can be viewed by this two from these two locations. Darjeeling, a popular hill resort, is a beautiful region famous for its tea gardens. Tiger Hill and Ghum are seen from Darjeeling. Now, Ghum is noted and is included as UNESCO World Heritage Site for it being the highest railway station which falls under the Darjeeling Himalayan Rail system. And Tiger Hill is again one of the places which is there. So, Tiger Hill is a peak which is seen from Darjeeling. So Darjeeling has a feel to it which gives the scenic beauty to that particular place. So these are the mountains nearer to West Bengal. Now let's see the Indo-Gangetic Plain that we have. It is also known as the North Indian River Plain, named after the Indus and the Ganges. That's the two major rivers which are flowing, the twin river system that drain it. The plain's population density is very high due to the fertile soil for farming. Now, if we see the extension of Indo-Gangetic Plain, we can see that these plains are harboring most of the densely populated cities of India. So, it also is the particular region is also famous for its agricultural or the farming lands. The major rivers in this region are the Ganges, that's the Ganga, River Indus and Brahmaputra, along with its main tributaries. So these are the names of the tributaries here: Yamuna, Chambal, Gomti, Ghagra, Kosi, Satluj, Ravi, Bees, Chenab and Tista, as well as the rivers of Ganga Delta like Meghna. So all these rivers coming together form a very fertile plain for agriculture. The plains are the most extensive expanse of uninterrupted alluvium formed by the deposition of silt by numerous rivers. The area is also rich in groundwater. Now, most of these rivers which are drained in this plain are throughout, that is, they are rain fed and they are glacier fed. So, what happens is they are running throughout. There is no dry period as sun which is experienced on this river plains. So, they have lots of alluvium deposits here. It forms the largest uninterrupted alluvium depositions. Furthermore, because of the richness, it is also rich in the groundwater sources. Now, the Great Plains are further classified into four divisions. We have the Babur Belt, the Tarai Belt, and the Bangar Belt and the Khadar Belt. So, the entire plains are further divided into these belts. Now, adjacent to the foothills of the Himalayas, towards extreme north, we have the Babur. Below that, we have the Tarai. It is composed of new alluvium. So, all these belts are with respect to the kind of soil or the kind of composition that it is made of. So, this region is moist and thickly forested. That's the Tarai Belt. The Bangar Belt, older alluvium and laterite deposits. The Khadar Belt, the fresh newer alluvium. So alluvium, So what happens here is that the way the rivers are flowing, they are forming different kinds of soil deposits, and that's how this unique belts are formed. They are different with respect to the kind of chemical, to the kind of composition that they are seeing, and the kind of plants that they can support. So that is the division of the belt. Let us see these formations on the map. So this part is the plains of the Ganga, that's the Indo-Gangetic plains that we have formed by the rivers like Ganga, Yamuna, and these are the rivers which further drain to towards Bangladesh, so that forming the Sundarbans. Now let us see the Thar Desert, which forms a significant portion of the western India and covers an area of about 77,000 square miles to 200 square miles. It extends from Satluj River, surrounded by Aravalli Range on the east and the Run on the south, and the Indus River on the west. So it is basically forming near the western India. So it lies mostly in Rajasthan, that's the state of India which covers Thar region, covering about 61% of its geographic area, and extends into the southern portion of Haryana and Punjab. So if we see the extent, it extends from Rajasthan onwards till Punjab and Haryana, and into northern Gujarat states. About 10% of this region comprises sand dunes, and 90% consists of craggy rocks. Compacted salt lake bottoms. Temperature is ranging from 0 degrees Celsius in winter to 50 degrees in summer. So that's the range which is more of extreme ranges that we can see. So if we see in winter, the coldest temperature can be till freezing point, and in night this is experienced more, and in summer the hottest degree which was recorded was 50 degrees here. So this was recorded in one of the cities near Rajasthan. Now, rainfall received is due to short July-September southwest monsoon that brings around 100 to 500 millimeter of precipitation. So that's a quite low of and rainfall. Now, this Thar Desert also is famous as a tourist spot. It is famous for it is famous for the Thar Desert which we see over there. So let us see the desert Thar in map. Now we see here is the Thar Desert. It extends from River Satluj. We can see River Satluj over here, nearer to Shivalik range that we have. That's Satluj River, surrounded by Aravalli Range. So we have Aravalli Range over here, we can see. And then on the east that we have the Run on the south. So we have the Run of Kutch here. So it is on the southern part of Thar. And the Indus River on the western side. So we it is flanked by the Indus River here. So maximum it's the Rajasthan state that makes up the Thar region. Now let us see the next, that is Kutch Desert or the Run of Kutch. Now Kutch is a district here, and the name Run arises from the word which means the desert. So the Run of Kutch is a seasonally marshy saline clay desert located in the Thar Desert, biogeographic province in the state of Gujarat. Now the Run was originally a part of Arabian Sea. What happened is a geological rising of the seabed, it then disconnected it from the sea. So there was a lot of water first, and then this water gradually dried up, leaving behind a saline marshmallow, that is marshland, that's salty marshland. So this was how the Run was formed. It is today known as the White Desert. With respect to tourism, it is very famous because there is a festival known as Ranotsav, or the festival of Run, which takes place annually from around December to March. So there are many tourist operations which come here. With respect to, there are tents which are built, then there are folk dances and performance which take place over here. Also in Run of Kutch there is one astronomical activity which forms, which is known as Cheer Bati. It are the presence of lights. Those are similar to something that we know are northern lights. This are different kinds of lights which are seen at a typical day or a typical period of a year. So these are known Cheer Bati or the ghost lights, that those are there. So there are many people who have studied the occurrence of these lights, and it is because of the typical salts which are present and typical gases which are present in and around that area. So those are one of the things that happen at Kutch. Now let's move on to the next thing that we have, the cold mountain desert of the Trans-Himalayan region. Now the Trans-Himalayan region of India consists of the cold deserts of Ladakh and Kargil in Jammu and Kashmir, and Lahul and Spiti valleys of Himachal Pradesh. So these are known as the cold deserts. So the ideal thing over here is that this is some place wherein you can have the sunstroke and cold bite, or that is the frost bite at the same time. So what we are talking about is extreme dry temperatures and extreme cold temperatures here. So bounded by Tibet in the east and Ladakh in the north, the Lahul Spiti district is located at a mean elevation of 3048 to 4572 meters, and the temperature plumped to minus 40 degree, and the rainfall is quite scanty. It is one of the most highest inhabited areas in the world with lowest population density. So there are people who still stay here even though the climatic conditions are so very extreme. So these are known as our cold deserts. Now let us see the position of this in the map. Now let's see a run of Kutch that we have over here. Okay, this is nearer to Rajasthan, that's the Thar region, region that we seen earlier. Now the run which we know, it's maximum towards Gujarat. So it is formed because of the geological formations wherein the seabed has been risen. And that's how it had left the salty marshlands. Now next let's see the cold mountain desert, or the cold desert as we seen in North India. Now the Trans-Himalayan region of India consists of the cold deserts of Ladakh and Kargil in Jammu. So we have the Ladakh range over here. So we have this Leh-Ladakh region over here, which makes it the coldest regions. Now this is in Jammu and Kashmir, and Lahul and Spiti valleys nearer to Himachal Pradesh. So these form near Tibet, that is the land which is where, when we talk about Spiti, it is considered to be a land in between India and Tibet. So bounded by Tibet in the eastern side, alright, so that's Tibet region that we have, and Ladakh in the north. So this are the Ladakh region here, and this is the Lahul Spiti districts, which are located at the near to the Himachal Pradesh. So these are one of the driest ones that we have. Now let us check the southern peninsular region in India. Now the southern peninsular is generally known as the Deccan Plateau. The reason why it's known as a plateau is it's raised or elevated, which is making up most of the southern part of the country. So we can see it in a triangular shape. It raises 100 meters high in the north and more than a kilometer high in the south, forming a raised triangle. It is located between the western and the eastern Ghats. So it is flanked on both the sides by western Ghats and eastern Ghats. The western Ghats range is very tall, and that's the reason it blocks the moisture which is coming from the air. So that is the wind. So those are the southwest monsoon from reaching the Deccan Plateau. So the region receives very little rainfall. So this we have already studied that there are western Ghats which act as a barrier to the southwest monsoon winds. That is how it is seemed to be having little rainfall. Let us check them in the map. Now this is the southern peninsula that we are talking about over here, which forms an approximately a triangular shape. The southern peninsula known as the Deccan Plateau. It is making up the most of the southern part of the country. Now over here if we see, it is 100 meters high in the northern side and more than a kilometer high in the southern side. So that's the elevation difference that we have. Furthermore, we have western Ghats on this side, that's on the west, and eastern Ghats flanking on the east side. So with comparison to the height, western Ghats are more taller, and that is how they are obstructing the winds which are coming from this side, and so the low rainfall across this region, which receives the low rainfall. So this is the southern peninsula.